Good morning, I'm Debbie Cruz. It's Wednesday, March 20th. A week of action begins to help service industry workers at risk of wage theft. More on that next, but first, let's do the headlines. The median price for a single-family home in the county is approaching $1 million. A monthly report from the California Association of Realtors says February's median price jumped to $980,000. That's an increase of $55,000 from the prior month. Year to year, the association says the increase is nearly $100,000. According to the report, the county's median price is significantly higher than the state average of $806,000, a price that's still out of reach for many buyers. San Diego's gas prices are also rising. GasBuddy.com, an online tool that tracks prices, says local prices are now the highest they've been since early December. The average price for a gallon of regular reached $4.95 yesterday. An analyst for Gas Buddy says the rise in prices is expected to slow in the next few weeks as higher production boosts supply. San Diego drivers are paying much higher gas costs than the national average, which according to AAA currently sits at $3.48 a gallon. The American Civil Liberties Union is urging caution to those traveling to Texas. The San Diego and Imperial Counties chapter joined several other ACLU chapters in issuing the guidance. It followed a Supreme Court decision that allows Texas to enforce a new law that allows local police agencies to detain people suspected of being non-citizens. Punishments can range from jail time to deportation. The new Texas law was passed in response to an increase in asylum seekers and other migrants attempting to enter the U.S. through the southern border. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need. The county is honoring the late labor rights leader Cesar Chavez by kicking off a week of action. KPBS reporter Alexander Wynn says county and state officials gave an update yesterday on the progress against wage theft in the past year.
I knew I had the responsibility to hold this company accountable for its actions. They promised. So,
choking back tears, her voice trembling, Santa Cruz described her ordeal with wage theft. It was only a few hundred dollars, but Cruz says that money can make a difference in workers' lives.
But they don't know whether that day when I went to work, whether or not I had money to put gas so I can go to work. They don't know that.
She eventually got her money through the Workplace Justice Fund program. The program was launched last December through the county's Office of Labor Standards and Enforcement. Cruz was one of 35 people helped by the program. Those who experience wage theft can visit sandiegoda.com to file a complaint or call 866-402-6044 to get help regardless of immigration status. Alexander Nguyen, KPBS News.
An unusual burst of stormy weather darkened our skies Monday and lit up the ground with lightning strikes. National Weather Service forecaster Alex Tardy says there were more than 1,400 blasts of lightning in Southern California on Monday. 650 made contact with the ground in San Diego and Los Angeles. San Diego's marine layer typically keeps those kinds of storms from forming here.
It's stable conditions where the atmosphere is happy. It's not excited. There's not much energy in the marine layer. So when we're dominated by that, that prevents us from getting energetic storms.
The storm system didn't do much for rainfall totals, which are hovering near average for the current rain year. But there is another storm in the forecast this coming weekend, and that could mean rain and wind for the county. The annual joint meeting of the San Diego Unified School Board and Trustees from the San Diego Community College District was held last night. KPBS education reporter MG Perez has more on the collaboration to find solutions to major school problems.
Once a year, the two district school boards meet. San Diego Unified trustees representing almost 100,000 students, and members of the San Diego Community College Board representing another 80,000 students. Student trustees from both districts are also included in the joint meeting conversation. Sagal Deep Gotra is from Miramar College. She wants trustees to consider offering college-level classes earlier in high school, starting with freshmen.
By completing your associates in high school, that is a phenomenon that happens very often now. We just need our students to have the opportunity to take some classes earlier on.
The joint group is also considering a long-term assessment model to quantify the successes and failures of students as they transfer from one district to the other. MG Perez, KPBS News.
Lab scientists at San Diego State don't have too far to go to turn in their old lab coat and get a clean one. KPBS SciTech reporter Thomas Fudge tells us about the vending machines that dispense them.
Since the end of last year, a vending machine in the breezeway of the Chemical Sciences Lab building has been providing lab coats to any lab scientist that needs one. Just swipe your university ID card and a freshly laundered one, free of charge, falls into the bin where you can grab it. Before this, the coats would pile up in labs, then typically get thrown out. OSHA regulations require them to be washed in a certified manner. Facilities coordinator for chemistry and biochemistry, Greg Elliott, says his old lab coat got really gross.
It's black. There's no more washing that I could do to ever get it white again.
Now, wait a second. It's black.
It's not black. It's, I would say, charcoal now.
One student said the system is convenient and environmentally conscious since lab coats get properly cleaned and used again. Thomas Fudge, KPBS News.
Coming up, we have a conversation with reporter Tanya Thorne about a new series that aims to help parents find their village when it comes to childcare and other family support. We'll have that interview and more just after the break. KPBS News is premiering a new digital video series today. Joining me to talk about it is its creator and host, Tanya Thorne, a reporter who covers the North County for KPBS. Tanya, welcome to the San Diego News Now podcast.
Thanks so much for having me, Debbie.
Your project is called Where's My Village? Give us the elevator pitch. What's it about?
You know, well, I think we've all heard the saying, it takes a village to raise a child. But that village looks very different for all families. For some families, their village is costing them hundreds, even thousands of dollars every month. For some, it's a friend or a family member. And for the older kiddos, you know, families begin to rely on the public school system. So in this series, I take a deep dive into the childcare system in San Diego and on a national level. We learn how much new families know about the system, how some families get help from the system, all the way to how providers are coping and the limitations really that are set on them. So it's really a series that gets points of views from different families and providers. But ultimately, we learn about any solutions on the horizon and initiatives being organized to help growing families in San Diego, as well as bolstering the childcare workforce.
How did the idea for it come about?
You know, well, I started to take a look at my own village and I quickly realized how extremely lucky I am. My mom is the one that helps me with my kids. And I quite honestly do have a village behind me helping me with my kids and helping me raise them. But that isn't the same for so many different families, especially here in San Diego, like military families, you know, who move to new places with no village to support them, you know, rely on existing centers and support, but those resources just aren't enough to go around for civilian families and military families. So I wanted to know why. I talked to different families and providers about their experiences, and we compared it to other places that have ultimately stopped waiting on any state or federal assistance and rolled out their own initiatives to help families and kids in their communities.
Tanya, in the series trailer, you mentioned you've previously done a good amount of reporting on child care. Was there anything that you were surprised to learn this time around?
You know, Debbie, we've been following child care and really closely, I think, since the pandemic. And the pandemic really helped shine a light on the importance of our child care system. Without it, many essential workers who needed to work despite a shutdown wouldn't have been able to. But the pandemic also shut down many providers. So I was really surprised to learn about the experience of the providers who are still standing. Why are they so limited to watching more kids? Why can't they expand? And we learned that in this series. But this also ties into new expanding families looking for care and how hard it is to afford it, but also to secure a spot. Here is Bolin Keo, a new mom expecting her first baby.
It's crazy that I feel behind and the baby is not even here yet. Like, I don't even know what our baby's name is or what the gender of our baby is. And I'm stressed out that I'm behind on figuring out their childcare. And to me, it kind of seems a little bit backwards that the baby is not even here on Earth yet.
What do you hope people take away from this series?
You know, I really hope all listeners, parents or not, realize how important a strong and reliable childcare system is. Not only does it help with parents' well-being, but it helps business owners have reliable employees. It helps our economy run. It helps keep smart and strong women in the workforce. And it helps kids be happy, learning, and hopefully out of dangerous or less than ideal childcare situations. And, you know, our kids are the future. So I do think an investment into our little ones' care now will pay off in the years to come.
Can you give us a preview of some of the tips you have for parents who are struggling to find childcare?
Yes. Well, I think my first piece of advice is going to be watch the series. I would say start planning early. If you're expanding or thinking about expanding your family, have that conversation with your partner. You know, what will childcare look like for us? Because I think many families are taken by surprise when they learn of the price tag. And I think, you know, really ask questions, contact your local providers, the YMCA, and apply for any resources. And just ask questions to your doctors, to your neighbors, to your friends, because, you know, any resources and applications take time. So just ask and get an early start and watch our series.
Where can people watch your series?
The full 6-episode series is now streaming on YouTube and can also be found on kpbs.org/wheresmyvillage. Each episode follows different journeys, new families, subsidy families, TK families, families with children with special needs, and what providers are going through. And if you're not a parent, learn a little about what your neighbors or family members are going through. So there's a little bit for everyone.
And you will also be participating in a KPBS event on childcare. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so to celebrate the launch of the series and to help parents find their village, we are hosting an event here at the KPBS newsroom on March 23rd from 10 a.m. to noon. We will talk about childcare and the issues families and providers are facing, talk about initiatives in the works, and also learn about resources. And the best part about this is that we will have childcare available. So families can get a break, come and vent about how much you're paying, about your situation with other families going through the same thing. And providers are also welcome and can come network. And that's all while your kiddos are being taken care of with crafts, books, and a special appearance from the Cat in the Hat. And you can find out more about that event and RSVP on kpbs.org/childcare.
I've been speaking with KPBS North County reporter Tanya Thorne, the creator and host of the new KPBS digital series, Where's My Village? Tanya, it was so nice chatting with you. I look forward to watching the series.
Thank you so much, Debbie.
The San Diego Padres 2024 season is already underway. The Friars started the regular season in Seoul, South Korea for 2 games with the LA Dodgers. This is the first time Major League Baseball has hosted regular season games in South Korea. It's a similar event to last year's series in Mexico City, where the Padres were also featured. Those who want to catch Game 2 can stay up late or get up early for the 3 a.m. start time tomorrow. A free live stream can be watched at Padres.tv. ESPN will have the national broadcast. The Padres will be in San Diego this weekend for several events, including FanFest at Petco Park on Sunday. That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. We'll be back tomorrow. I'm Debbie Cruz. Thanks for listening and have a great Wednesday.